It is a delight for Patty and me to be with you today on this very significant celebration and to give thanks to God for all that has happened and all that is happening through the ministries of APNTS. So I bring you greetings on behalf of the Board of General Superintendents, and each one of them would love to be here today to extend personal notes and words of congratulations. But let me say to you on their behalf, thank you for the service that you're rendering, for the commitment that you've made, and to all of the students who are here this morning, we celebrate your presence in this environment and give thanks for the future that God may have for you. It is a joy to be with Dr. Im and Dr. Cunningham and other members of the faculty, former presidents. I do bring you greetings as well from your Nazarene family around the world. 2.3 million of us, and all of them nearly aware of the ministry of this institution, and we thank you. I had an opportunity to talk to Dr. Owens just a few days before I left the United States in October, and he told me at that time how much he wanted to be present for this time of celebration at APNTS. I described Dr. Owens earlier today as a person of the globe. Dr. Owens is a global Christian. But Dr. Owens left a significant piece of his heart here in Asia, and particularly here at APNTS. And he would give nearly anything to be here addressing you today and extending his congratulations. Dr. Owens was a dreamer, always has been a dreamer. And now, in these years of retirement, he continues to dream wild and crazy dreams. And who knows what may come of all the dreams that God has put in his heart. Thank you, Dr. Cunningham, for the privilege of being here today and for the opportunity to be a part of this service. The scripture that I've asked to be read may not seem to be all that appropriate for this moment, but I think it is appropriate. For in that scripture, Joshua has been obedient to God in setting up a reminder of a significant moment of God's intervention in the lives of his people. We have to say that all good things come from the intervention of God or the involvement of God. Nothing of consequence is birthed, nothing lasts, nothing that endures that isn't first born in the heart of God, and then, as Dr. Agbuya referenced, carried out by obedient servants. And the dream for an institution like this was born in the heart of a great church, and it became personalized in the person of Dr. Don Owens as he was asked to come and do some preliminary work and then gather together a team to begin to work on the establishment of this institution. Well, that's similar to what happened for the children of Israel. For 40 years, they'd been wandering in the wilderness, and under the leadership of Moses, they came to a particular moment when his ministry came to an end. A transition time transpired. Joshua became the leader, and Joshua led the people into the experience that had been promised to Abraham hundreds of years before that moment. It was an incredible moment when God divided, stopped the flow of the river, Jordan, at flood stage, and allowed his people to pass over into the promised land. Now, I know scholars debate all of these things about whether there are some exaggerations in the scripture and this and that, but I just read the Bible as it is and believe it as it is. So I believe that there was a day back there in the past when God stopped the flow of that river and allowed his people to pass over on dry land. The Lord said, and this is an incredible thing about we humans, the Lord said, not so much in clear and concise language, but certainly by his command, "Now, Joshua, I know that people have a short memory, and they'll soon forget this moment, this time when I stepped into their lives and brought about a miracle on their behalf. So I want you to gather up stones from the riverbed where the Ark of the Covenant stood with the priest. And these were not small rocks. These were the kinds of stones that had to be carried on the backs of strong men. So these were not pebbles. These were stones. And I want you to get 12, one for every tribe and every family. And I want you to bring those 12 stones out and position them in such a way that people will understand that time and wind erosion and other things didn't create what is here. I want you to put something in place so that when people drive by or walk by, ride by, whatever the occasion may be and whatever time period in which they may live, I want you to put something in place so that when people pass by with their children will say, "Hey, Dad, what is that? Why is that there? Who did that? What does that mean?" And then I want you to take time to sit down with them, and I want you to tell them the story of the crossing. I want every generation to know the story of the crossing. And this was put in a place where a lot of traffic would go by. People would be passing. Caravans would have been passing along this route. So there would have been many opportunities for people to pass by and children to say, "Wow, Mom, Dad, why is that arrangement of stones present?" And then the story would be told. Now, the reason God wanted that story to be told was that he wanted all people everywhere to know of his power and his glory, and he wanted all people everywhere to remember, not simply for the sake of a fond memory, but to remember for the challenges that they're facing in any particular time in history. And so that was done, and in fact, Joshua says those stones were still present at the time he wrote the words of this book. Well, several years ago, 30 years ago, actually a little over 30 years ago, God birthed in the dream of some Nazarenes the idea of a seminary in Asia. The Church of the Nazarene has always believed in a well-prepared clergy. We believe, first of all, that women and men must be called to ministry by the present power of God in their lives through the Holy Spirit. Ministry is not a career choice. Ministry is a calling. We do what we do because God put it on our hearts, and we do it because we have no choice. There are no options for those of us who are called into ministry. It's not something we can do for a while and then do something else and then something else. We are called of God, and we devote our lives. So much so that it's hard for us to think of ourselves as anything but a preacher or a servant. It's just the way we think of ourselves. Sometimes that proclamation goes through the teaching of other people in classrooms. Sometimes it's in the form of serving as missional directors and other areas in the life of the church. But at the heart of all who are called of God is this desire to proclaim the gospel of Jesus in one way or another, and to give that gospel away to future generations. So God wants men and women everywhere to know well the gospel, and we've believed from the very beginning in a well-prepared and educated ministry, called of God first, but affirmed and ordained by the church secondly. And that requires that we have places in which these young people can be educated and trained. Even before the Church of the Nazarene came into being in 1908, there were several little colleges and universities all over the United States of America, small institutions that called themselves universities, but they were present. And as the church came together and these varied institutions began to join together, we came to have a number of large universities and colleges. And then that's been replicated around the world until we have over 50 colleges and Bible colleges and universities around the world today, most of which have been positioned for the training and equipping of ministries. So the Lord put that dream in somebody's heart. Now, if you've been in the Church of the Nazarene very long, you know that we don't have an overflow of money. There's not just money laying around everywhere. So anything, something like this happens, it's because of the hand of God. almost like the stopping of the flow of the flood waters of the Jordan River. And when you walk around this campus and you look at it and you ask yourself, how did this happen? Well, you might talk about the people that have come and worked and served and the people that have invested their lives. You might talk about the former president. You might talk about work and witness teams who've come and people from around the world that have given significant amounts of money so that this place could be here. But you have to finally go back to the heart of God. This was born first in the heart of God and then put in the heart of some dreamers, and we have what we have here today. So the scripture is really appropriate for this moment. Every time you drive by, step on campus, we need to remember why we're here. We're here because we want to equip and train young men and women for ministry and missional effectiveness. That's why we're here. Now, we do some other things as well, but that's why this institution was born, to be a seminary. When the institution finally broke away from its arrangement with Nazarene Theological Seminary in Kansas City, Missouri, USA, and became an institution in and of itself, it was the first and only other seminary that we have outside North America, and remains so today. Dr. Owen's dream was that we would build culture bridges. And the scripture verse that he selected there, that there is one mediator between God and man, and that one mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. This concept and idea of bringing different cultures together so that we're not a Filipino people or a Korean people or a North American people, but that we are one people of many languages and many colors and many cultures. And we come together under the Lordship of Jesus. It's been my privilege to preach in over 50 countries now in my time of service in the Church of the Nazarene. And I've found that the message of Christ transcends all cultures. And the powerful presence of the Holy Spirit penetrates every culture. And the truth of the gospel works in every culture. God is still parting, holding back the floodwaters and allowing his people to move into new places and new times. So we give thanks for the dream. We're here today because God put a dream in the hearts and lives of men and women. In this present moment, we want to make certain that that dream lives in us. That we're not simply trying to perpetuate an institution. In my role as a general superintendent, I'm going to be careful how I say this, but I need to say it. I don't see my primary goal as sustaining the Church of the Nazarene. That's not my primary call of God. My primary call is to help in the advancement of the kingdom of God. And that will, hopefully, allow the Church of the Nazarene to continue to exist and be partners with the United Methodist Church and other churches who are represented here today. We are partners together in a greater work than building denominations. Denominations will be built, and those are good things, but that's not our primary calling. We're here to build a kingdom of God. And we want that dream to live in the lives of these students. And in recent days, I've had the privilege to be on campus here for about a week, a couple of weeks ago, and to spend time with some students and interact at least to some degree with some. And I can tell you, I believe that dream is living in the hearts and lives of the students on this campus today. And I have great confidence about what they're going to do when they leave this place. Patty and I have recently been in China and had an opportunity to see, Dr. Cunningham, some of your graduates at work. Some students from APNTS, and in other parts of Asia where we've seen students from APNTS, particularly in Myanmar, old Burma, where we have so many who've come, and we have a number of students in the seminary now today from Myanmar, and how God is putting in their hearts this dream to build culture bridges and to reach a lost and dying world for the Lord Jesus Christ. The rocks that Joshua mentioned were not only to remember the past and celebrate a present moment, but they were also to remind us of what our future purpose is. Institutional drift is something that tends to happen to nearly any human organization or human institution. The multiplication of our efforts and taking on so many different things that we lose sight of the primary thing. I heard a man speak the other day about his organization, and he said, you hear many organizations say they're a mile wide. Well, he said, our organization is an inch wide, but it's a mile deep. We don't try to do everything. We know our purpose. And if it doesn't fit within our statement of purpose, then we let someone else do it. We don't try to do more than we can do. We do the one thing that we are called to do, and we do it well. And he said of himself and his team, he said, we do it better than anybody else I know. Well, that's what we want to be at APNTS. We want to be an inch wide and a mile deep. We want to be focused not only for today, but for the future on the thing that God placed us here to do. And we want to be a mile deep. We want to do it better than anybody else that we know. We want to be the very best that God can empower us to be. And as we walk across this campus in the time that we're here, and as some of you have the opportunity to come and go on a regular basis, and you see the buildings, and you come through the gate, you drive by the street and you see the name, or you see a vehicle on the streets, or you hear a student who's attending or reporting and sharing what God is doing in their lives. Let's remember why we're here, what God called us to do. And let's give all of our energies and our time and our efforts to do that. For we want all people everywhere to fear or to reverence the Lord our God. It isn't about a reputation of an institution. It's about perpetuating the kingdom of God and the advancement of that kingdom through our lives and through our hearts. And to this, God has called us. Let us be faithful. Dr. Eames, as you assume your responsibilities as president of this university, and I know you're going to have an inaugural time in January, but I charge you today to lead APNTS to the fulfillment of their mission and calling and purpose, and that is to train young women and men to spread out across Asia and indeed around the world with a proclamation of scriptural holiness, bringing people into the experience of the forgiveness of sins and new life in Jesus, and leading them into the experience of a pure heart, filled and anointed by the Holy Spirit for the work to which God has called them, and equip them to proclaim that and teach that and live that wherever they go and wherever they serve the church, but to live that message of truth and to take the message of Christ to the world. For we focus not only on Asia, but we're ready to serve the world. And may God help us to do that. This anniversary moment is a wonderful time to come together with friends and make new friends and to reminisce and reflect. But it's also a time to renew our commitment to our calling and our purpose. And that's what God wanted the children of Israel to do when they passed by those stones. He wanted parents to tell their children the story, which has to be told. Let's not assume that everybody knows why we're here. Not everybody understands why we're here. So the story has to be told on a regular basis to every incoming class, to every new student. The story of why we're here has to be told so they then can tell that story to another student and another person until everybody knows why this building is here. How did this happen? And why did this happen? And what does that mean to me in my life and my future? And that meaning is wrapped up in the heart of God. We want everyone to know why we're here. We want everyone to make certain that we remain committed to that original call to prepare, to develop, to disciple, to deploy servants of God out across this region and around the world. Well, that's a big job. Fortunately, Jesus said, greater things than I do, you will do. Not greater in quality, but perhaps greater in quantity. And the reach of the church today is so significant. I tell you this story in closing. The president of Fuller Theological Seminary in the United States was speaking to his graduating class at commencement this last year. And in the course of his address, he told this story. He said, you often hear Christians say, when I die and get to heaven, I want to find Moses, and I want to ask Moses some questions, or I want to find the Apostle Peter and ask about the day of Pentecost, or I want to find Paul and find out about the global mission that finally reached all the way here to the Philippines and all the way to my country, and we're Christians today because of that global mission. I'd like to ask them. I'd like to ask Daniel about the lion's den and the three Hebrew children about the fiery furnace. I want to talk to Moses about the wilderness. I've got so many questions I want to ask. He said, it won't be that way at all. He said, it will be like this. When we get to heaven, saints will come running to us and they'll be saying, what was it like to be alive when the Spirit of God came to live in the hearts of his people, not just for a momentary empowerment, but what was it like to be there when people were being swept into the kingdom of God by the millions every year? What was it like when the revival broke out in China, as it surely will at some point? There will be an outbreak of the kingdom of God in that great country. What was it like when people came to Christ in numbers? What was it like when whole villages turned to Christ? For they never saw anything like that. But we're living in one of the most exciting times in the history of the Christian church. And much of that is because of the dreams of people to put in place an opportunity for training that exist here at APNTS. That's why we're here. And heaven, the saints in heaven may be waiting for our reports when we get there to tell them what it was like to be alive, the most exciting time in the history of the body of Christ. I pray God will bless you and bless this day and bless our future as we go forward, an inch wide, but a mile deep, doing what we do better than anybody else. Thanks be to God.